This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Comes along. Good evening, Bahamas. This is Kendani Campbell Moss, and we are on Guardian Radio 96.9 Fresh News Smart Talk all day. And again, I'm coming to you from home because I have a minor injury, and so I'm not able to make it up the stairs at the Guardian. And so we are going to have our conversations over the next 3 weeks from my humble abode. But this Tuesday, like most Tuesdays, is an opportunity for you to go ahead and put your leg on that man after my show is over. Let that man put his leg on you and have a dandy. This is the absolute perfect weather. And so we are going to have a conversation this evening. Normally we talk about love and relationships and how to get on track with better communication and how we communicate as a people. But this evening, we are going to have a conversation with Miss Donella Major. She is going to speak with us about what it really means to love beyond what we see. She's going to talk to us today about not love in the husband-wife realm. We're going to talk about love and love beyond our destination, what our destination can see. A love beyond silos. We're going to talk about a love for her child. A mother's love is the greatest love that you will ever have. Donella, are you there? Hello? Can you hear me? We can't hear you. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we are going to come right back because we may be having some technical issues on her side. Now, Donnell?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. So I have already done your introduction, and I want you to have a conversation with me and our listening audience. We have had so many inbox messages. I would have been able to share those with you today. And it seems as if, though, there's an absolute stigma, there's a sense of shame that surrounds children that have autistic needs. I don't know if I'm saying the correct words, but you can direct me so that I am completely correct in my deliberation. But there are some very prominent persons that would have kids that are autistic. There are some entry-level people that have children that are autistic, but they're looking, they're seeking help, and their resources don't seem to be readily available. I want you to tell me, as a woman, as a mother, how did you know that you had a child with an ailment, or that you had a child extra loving attention?
So good evening, Kenny, and good evening, everyone. When it comes to the correct terminology, there's a preference. Everybody has their own preference in the community. Some people prefer to say, my child is autistic. Some people say, my child has autism. My preference, my personal preference, I like to say, my son has an autism diagnosis, or has autism. It's debatable, I guess. So this journey started for me in 2016, and I, as a new mother, I did not know what to expect, what I should be looking for in my child developmentally. You know, those developmental milestones that doctors, you know, talk about with parents. I did not know what to expect. I knew I had a baby and I was over the moon and he was beautiful. And I think my sister, my eldest sister, Anika, would have noticed some stuff, but she didn't say anything to me right away. And after I kind of got a wind of it, I started doing some research, and I was like, yeah, he's not talking. He's not walking yet. He's lining up toys. What were some other things? He was walking on his tippy toes. Yes. Those were some of the more, prevalent signs that I saw within him. And so that led me on a search and ultimately to having him evaluated and later diagnosed with autism.
So how many levels are there in terms of autism or being on the spectrum?
So we go from 1, 2, 3, 3 being more severe. You would find that, you know, some children are non-vocal, non-verbal. They have challenging behaviors of aggression, eating issues, sleeping issues, a number of challenges.
Okay. Okay. So let me just say to you right off of the bat that we have more questions than we can probably handle in the time period. But this is one question that has come in the chat, even in this final hour, and I've already logged off of the system. Okay. But this question comes, can you please tell me how to manage? Because I'm often embarrassed because I have a child with special needs. I'm never invited to parties and I'm never invited to family events because of it. I'm wondering if I should simply ask my husband to have her committed or to be placed in a special care center where we can pay. I don't think that I have the mental capacity. I don't think that I have the mental capacity to withstand this.
Wow. That took the breath out of me for a second. It definitely is not a situation for the weak. And I will say to you, Mom, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. There's nothing that the child is your child. I don't know if it's a girl or a boy.
It's a girl.
That God gave you. Motherhood is a gift. There are many people out there dreaming of having children. Maybe yours has a little bit of delays or challenges. You step into that motherly role and you do the very best you can. It's unfortunate that you do not have the family support. I think that that's a challenge that we are dealing with as a community within the Bahamas. We, you know, there's a stigma. If the child has a challenge, they're written off automatically. Like they're not expected to become much or do much. And so people tend to discard them right away. And it's unfortunate that you don't have that support. But Initially, when I got my son's diagnosis, he would hit other children. He had tantrums that were, he had screams and he would throw things. And I did not take him to family events. Not that I wasn't invited. I did not take him to family events because I was fearful that he would hurt somebody or would be a distraction from what was really going on, but mainly because I thought that he would end up hurting someone with throwing things, and then what would happen to him? How would he feel? I learned that, you know, they have a lot of sensory issues, loud noises, bright lights, a lot of, you know, crowded places. It's challenging for them to kind of cope with. And so he was young and I stayed away. But I think this is a great need for you. You would need your family to be on board. And maybe we can work together as a community to try and educate our family members more on how to not only accept the challenges our children have, but to help us to love them and provide, you know, the support and resources that they need so that they can acclimate to environments that they're not really used to and that are challenges for them.
And she has written back, but I want to ask this question preluding that. Is there a resource, is there a safe space for parents, especially mothers? And why I'm asking you specifically for mothers, right, is because I'm a mom and I had my own fertility challenges. And so I know what it feels like to be ostracized and Radio Bahamas, Commonwealth of the Bahamas, sometimes when you have fertility issues, it's not always the woman. Sometimes it's the man. So yes. I think we should erase that feeling for us as well. But is there a resource? Is there a safe space that you have for, is there a community of persons that have children that may be autistic? Is there somewhere for you to go? Is there someone for you to call and say, hey, I need help? Is there that outlet?
Not that I am aware of. I know that there are autism organizations, Reach being the main one. They usually have some programs. They're not like consistent every week, every month, or even quarterly. But I know that they do have a lot of programs where they offer respite for parents. You can drop off, but it's not frequent. We are in desperate need of greater resources in that regard, but we're just not there yet.
Okay, this is the her follow-up question as well. I often isolate myself and I feel misunderstood. It has put a huge wedge between my husband and I. My husband has children from another marriage, and our daughter is our child between both of us. So of course, Yunus' wife makes jokes, and his other three children have negative things to say. So this particular, for the lady that sent me this text, can I give her number to you?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so these are coming to my inbox messages on Facebook. So people have a tendency to send me messages, but they're not readily available to post them. So I'm going to send you her information. But do you understand what she's saying to you, that she feels a particular type of way?
I myself, I don't have that experience, not that I am aware of. My son is the only child between my husband and I, but not that I'm aware of. But that is also unfortunate. But I will say that this journey as a mom with a child on the spectrum, I don't think the wider community or society understands how severe it is for families, but in particular mothers. You know, as mothers, our children are tied to our hearts. And so when they hurt, it's almost like there's a wound in our heart. So I understand that, you know, for her, in her family situation, her setup, the type of situation she explained, how this could be affecting her and not just having to deal with the autism aspect of it, But yeah, their marriages, some marriages have ended, but some are going strong. Some families, they have their parents work together. They are strong and they are the child, not, you know what I mean? Right now, the most important thing is getting her the assistance that she needs so that she can, you know, grow up to become as much as an independent individual as she possibly can. And you would find that once you are working towards getting her assistance, the load becomes just a little bit lighter. I don't know how old the child is, but if it's a young child, early intervention is key. And that's my main message tonight. Aside from a deeper, you said you often isolate yourself. It's okay to do that sometimes, but you isolate yourself with the Almighty because He's the one who is going to give you not only the strength you need to navigate this, but He's also going to give you guidance on as to how to address it. You cannot be on this journey without God, especially as an autism mom. You cannot navigate motherhood without God, but especially as an autism mom. So,
I have a question for you, and then we're going to take a very quick break. This is another question that would have come in. What has been your greatest moment of joy in this journey?
Wow. Can I tell you? I've had so many great moments over the past few years.
You almost sound like you're crying, Donnell.
Yeah, eyes.
I'm sorry.
I'm overwhelmed with, because when he would have gotten his diagnosis, it was said that he would probably never talk, probably never go to a regular school. There wasn't, the prognosis wasn't good. The outlook wasn't good. I did not accept it. There's a spiritual aspect where people say you don't accept what they say. It's what God says. And yes, I held on to that for dear life. But I also jumped into this sort of warrior mode where I got in the trenches and my mindset was whatever it takes is what I'm going to do. And Lord, just tell me what to do. And I followed the instructions the Lord gave me. I executed everything to a T. And my greatest moments that I'm experiencing right now is that my son started formal school in third grade. So before that, he was in special ed schools and classrooms. He started regular schools, for lack of a better term, at third grade in 2021 at the great Thelma Gibson Primary School. And he survived. He thrived. He kept up with his grades, good GPA. And now he is in the sixth grade at Thelma Gibson. He's a prefect, and he was also selected as their student of the year. These are what society looks for when they deem a child successful, the academics. Those are some great moments, but the great moments for me are there was last year in April, Autism Awareness Month. It's April. It's the month of April. And I was gearing up to do my regular talks at different churches. And the Holy Spirit said to me, it's time for the testimony to talk. And he was able to get up there in the front of so many different people at different churches. And he was able to give glory to God through his speech. Would never do. So those are some of the great moments.
Okay. Donnell, when we come back, I want you to tell my audience the very same thing that you said to me. You packed a bag and you left. Belinda Johnson Wilson sent me a message and she said, you are an inspiration. She said that she knows your story. I posted your flyer. I posted the collateral. I don't call them flyers because they're not flyers. They're collaterals. As a professional, the term is collateral. And I posted your collateral, right? Mm-hmm. Bianca made it illustrative artistry. And in posting that, the influx of messages that I would have received. I mean, these are people that sit in super high places that have said to me, there are no resources. We have to look elsewhere. But they also say to me, hey, Kenny, I'm saying this to you for a reason. I also don't bring out my son or my daughter because of how people will treat me in the Bahamas.
Right.
I realize that so many people have shipped their children away, or so many people have inside care because they don't want to bring their children out.
That's unfortunate. We
are going to have that conversation. I want you to talk to our people about seeking the proper help that they need. And one mother's courage to see beyond what the diagnosis said for her son. Donnell, we are going to be back. Chris, take us to break. This is Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Bahamas. Only Mahatma. Whether it's Bimini in the north or Mayaguana in the south. If you cook in white rice, fried rice, or peas and rice, pumpkin rice, crab and rice, or pumpkin rice for the best results, it must be Mahatma. Everyone loves Mahatma. Look for Mahatma long grain, gold, jasmine, basmati, or yellow rice. And for a healthier option, Mahatma brown rice. All over the Bahamas. Only Mahatma.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Guardian 96.9, Fresh News, Smart Talk, all day. This is Kenny's Corner, and we are having the conversation this evening. It's beyond a mother's love. It's beyond a love that is seen as normal and regular or the standard, because these mothers have to go over and beyond the call of duty to ensure that their children are seen in the proper light. But we're going to dive into Donnell. How did you get the gumption to say, hey, I don't accept this diagnosis, and I am going to pack my bag, get my child, me and my husband, or me and myself, or me, myself, and I? What did you do? Did it just come to a head when you said, listen, I got to get help? What did you do?
So back then in 2016, 2017, 2018, there were limited resources, and we are in 2025 and there's still limited resources. We're still basically where we were 6-7 years ago. Mind my math. So a child with autism requires various targeted supports, therapies. The main and scientifically proven to be the most effective form of therapy for children with autism is ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis. That was one of the main therapies that I would have had my son enrolled in. Then there's speech therapy and occupational therapy. So he did occupational therapy and ABA while here. And of course, everyone, you know, well, I'm not sure everyone is aware. I shouldn't say that. But a lot of persons are aware that, you know, those therapies can be somewhat expensive. And that was a challenge that we met, my family and I. So I ended up having a whole bunch of fundraisers, stakeouts, south, boat cruise. And after we had sold tickets and sold tickets and sold tickets, we couldn't sell any more tickets. So our backs were against the wall. I was a teacher. And everyone knows that teachers don't make a really good salary. And therapies back then were per month, $2,164 per month. And so we quickly exhausted our salaries, our savings, just everything. And so the wall, and basically what it was saying to me, either I give up on this child that I love, or I need to figure out what I'm going to do. And so my relationship with God grew stronger almost, you know, by the hour. It just grew stronger, and I drew nearer to him because there was no one else who understood exactly what I was experiencing as a mom. My husband didn't understand it. My family knew what was going on, but inside, it's like a different form of suffering and pain. And so after a few weeks of you know, doing my research, I kind of found out that, hey, New Jersey is the hub of everything autism. They are on the cutting edge of services, and they understood what a child with autism would need. And so I started making plans to leave. I didn't know how I was going to do it. How was I going to leave my job and be able to just relocate to the States, you know? So I started, you know, figuring out ways that I could do it, go back to school. How would I afford paying for school? Were there any scholarships available? How can I tap into that? And I must say, I also had, I cannot describe my support system to you.
Right, right.
I had an army behind me. They were everything AJ. They just waited for, it was like I was the commander, and they just waited for me to make a decision and just tell them what to do. They were 1,000% behind me. My family, my best friends, his godmothers, they were like, Donnell, what do we need to do and to make this happen? What's our next move? It was always our. And so I was able to make that transition. And he found out 2 weeks before I was leaving that I was really leaving. And that's a different story. So when she talked about having struggles in the marriages, I understand what that was, you know, because I've been there myself. But so I ended up in New Jersey and going back to school, something I swore I would never do. I was 36, 37, maybe, going back to school. And that's not something I envisioned for my life. And I got there. I went there. I didn't know anybody. Had to learn how to drive within 2 weeks to sit an exam. Had to learn my way around, navigate all of that, prepare him for school because I took him with me. AJ, that is, and get him sorted out for school. And yeah, that's kind of like a times five speed of the logistics of what I would have done to get, you know, myself and my son to you know, access services.
So I want you to tell me something, because this going to school, this returning to the classroom, as it were, right? Mm-hmm. This gave you an opportunity to breathe life into what you are doing now. Now, you speak a lot about the Holy Spirit, and you talk about being God-centered.
Right.
Your walk with God, your return to the classroom, you having a child that is diagnosed with autism, this is all a process, and it's all about timing. A lot of times we hear, trust the process. But in this process, it birthed a school, it birthed a training, it birthed an education out of you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do now? I mean, are you a teacher? What tell me what you do now.
So, well, not long after I graduated with my master's in special education, I sat my certification exam to become a board certified behavior analyst. Not very many people know what that is. You know, but it's kind of a big deal in the U.S. because they are, when people talk about, you are only as strong as your weakest, in the U.S., they take that to heart. So they take care of their disabled and their elderly. And so they would know right away what you're talking about. And I mean, everybody, you go in the airport, you go in Walmart, they know what that is. Here, not so much. But currently, I am operating in that field as a behavior therapist. So I provide behavior therapy to children with autism and other developmental delays.
Okay, so tell me something. You know, in the airport, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a girlfriend that works in the airport, and she told me about this tag that is being that sometimes is used for children that may have autism. Why aren't we, if we have disability stickers here for persons that are in wheelchairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have stickers or why haven't we come, like, what is going on with the, and I don't want to say disability, right? And I don't want to be insensitive.
Right.
Why don't we have that?
We do have it at our LPIA, is it?
No, I'm not talking about an LPIA. I'm not talking about LPIA. There's no other airport. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about why don't we have it in the Bahamas proper? Why isn't there legislation? Why don't we have that? Your son matriculated through school, right?
Yes.
Do we have other schools that accept children that are on the spectrum? Are there schools that are paid schools that accept children that are on the spectrum? Is that a thing?
We have quite a number of schools that accept children with autism and other developmental delays. But it comes with, okay, you're enrolling the child, you know, the child has certain challenges, the child would require therapy. So the therapist would then be, you know, they would have to have access to come into the school to provide said therapy. It just depends on the level that the child is at. You have some children that are more severe than others, but there are quite a bit of schools out there. Not very many that are registered with NACOB. But some are trying. You just kind of have to do your research and choose the best option for you and your family.
How many hours a week should a child have of therapy? Is it therapy and school, or is it just therapy?
Therapy only. How many hours of ABA?
Yes.
40 hours per week.
So and how much does insurance cover it here in New Providence?
No, it does not.
It does not cover it?
No, it does not.
So how, like a person on a regular income,
they would not be able to afford it.
And so the child will still suffer.
Pretty much that's where we are right now.
Okay, these are some other questions that I have for you. Kenny, thank you for this. Thank you for this, Ms. Folks.
Thank you for this.
Fox, if she put folks. Thank you for this. I appreciate your time. This is another statement, I should say. And it reads, this is all great, fine and dandy. But I want you to know, I have two children between my husband and I, and both of those children are special needs. We are both in the medical field, and it is extremely difficult. I want you also to know that it puts a huge strain on the relationship and the lack thereof. There was a point in time where my husband sought another person to deal with what was going on in our marriage. I didn't find out until the very end. We are still married to this very day. I want you to understand, Bahamas, and I want you to understand anyone that is listening. Having a child with autism not only affects the mother, but it affects the entire being. It affects who you are. It makes me question who I am as a person, because in most instances, and as science has proven, a child gets their intellect from the mother. So am I autistic? Am I the one that caused this? No one in my husband's family has children that are on the spectrum or are even closely related to being autistic. Do you know what it truly feels like to lay alone in bed at night and not know if you would have caused this? What happens to my children when I die? What happens if I die first? These are all questions. I wish that I could have a support group or more of a support group, but these are the things that I go through as a woman. And since my husband cheated on me, I find it very difficult to open up to him and have that type of support. Kenny, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you to Dwight, and thank you to Guardian Radio for being honest and stations. I'm sitting in my garage and I'm in tears, and I appreciate the time and the energy.
So I'm tearing up listening to that. Because wow. I don't have two children. I have one. So I know that she's dealing with a whole lot having two, because having two could be like having 100. But I do understand everything else outside of that that she's going through, because I've been there. Okay. I often say to people, and I don't think they take me seriously, being in a situation like this could kill you.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Literally kill you. Because you are walking around with a shattered heart. You're walking around with pain. You're walking around with, it's indescribable in a sense, but you're lost. There's nothing you yourself can do for your child. Like, it's not like you can fight off a dog and your child will be okay. This is something you wake up to every day. This is something you go to bed with. This is something you deal with throughout the day. You're always thinking, what can I do? Lord, help me. And the question she asks, what's going to happen to my kids when I die? That's a term that's coined in the community. I absolutely cannot die. That's a prayer I pray daily. Lord, let me live to see my son become independent and be able to take care of himself. Let me live. So because, and this is why she's saying that, because a lot of people are marginalizing their kids because they are ashamed, because they don't know what to do. They don't know need. And so they kind of give up. There's no one to turn to. And so right now that's a pressing thing on our mind. But right now,
did you hear what I said? She says she has two children and she lays alone at night wondering if it's her.
Well, I will have to say to her, it's not you. It is not you. I was reading what the Bible had to say about motherhood and all of that, right?
Yes.
Surprisingly, suffering is a gift from God.
The Roman Catholic Church tells me that every single day.
Yes. And my pastor did a series a couple weeks back on faith, because I always wondered, you know, God, what type of faith this is you give me? Because there's not one ounce of doubt in me when it comes to God about anything concerning my life, concerning my son's life. But suffering, this that we're going through, This is a gift that pushes us into purpose. And this is the gift that God gave me to fight for my son, because I realized that there's great purpose on his life. I don't care what society has to say. I take him everywhere. I take him everywhere. There was one time I went into a government office and he was stimming and it was so severe. And I just stood there waiting to be served. And then the lady became annoyed and she decided she was going to speak to my son. Hey, you. She said what she had to say. And I was like, miss, no, listen. And she's ignoring me completely. And so what I then did was, can I see a manager, please? Manager, you need to provide training for your staff. On how to deal with children when they encounter them. Because I take my son everywhere. We went to the American Embassy this morning. I was anxious the whole time because I'm like, Lord, how is he going to respond being in this environment? And I prayed and I remained calm. He asked where he wanted to see all of the documents and he was about to kick me. And I was like, AJ, stand down. We are on U.S. territory. You need to wait. So, and it took me a while. It took me years to get to that point with him. But again, we need to train society. We need to educate society. We need to expose society to our children, not hide them.
Now, may I ask this question? Because I do have other questions. May I ask this question? If the question is out of bounds, by all means, you disregard it and we move on to something else.
Right.
Do you think that it creates tension? I'm talking to you as a real person, because these people are only coming to me in text and inbox messages. Do you think that it really and truly creates, or has it ever really created a divide with your husband and yourself? And how did you survive it?
We were at odds because, like I said, I moved to a whole different country, thousands of miles away without his. I didn't ask. I told him.
You didn't ask. You said, "Hun, I'm doing this for the betterment of our kid."
Yes, he did not approve. He did not approve of it, but I knew it was happening because I knew what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. He, you know, basically said, "If you don't get out of this country in 2 weeks, you're not going to get the help you need for your son." Now, a lot of, you know, spiritually ministers may not agree with that, but you have to understand my husband wasn't in a place of, he wasn't saved. He isn't saved today. So
I don't want us to get carried away with these people who say in these spiritual things, you know,
the house type thing.
Yeah. But I don't subscribe to that. I want you to know emphatically, right? These
right.
people out here talking about, like, they so saved and they so holy and sanctified. Let that rest.
Yes.
Because your child is what comes. Listen.
Well, to be honest, Kenny, in my mind, I summed it up to this. My husband was an adult who can fully take care of himself.
Absolutely.
If he wanted to, he could leave me any good old day. We'd only been married 3 years at the time.
Absolutely.
He could pick up and leave me any day, but my child I will always have with me. That was the mindset that I had. And really, after I had heard from the Lord, nothing was holding me back.
Exactly. And I want to say this to you too, right? And my journey and your journey are completely different. But I remember I had had triplets. My husband and I had had triplets, and they had to airlift me to Regional Memorial. The children were born alive, and then they died shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. I was septic, and I was in a comatose state for almost three to 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. I was almost like that for a month, right? And they said that I would never be able to have children ever again. Of course, I have a child for my husband. Her name is Anai, and it means God answers prayers.
Right.
And one Sunday, my mommy was still alive. And one Sunday, we were at church. And I'm in the choir at St. Francis. And man, Francis Richardson was licking that organ. And we had Mr. Richardson. The other Mr. Richardson was on the sax. And Tina was on the sax. And Tevin was on the drum. And listen, St. Francis was on fire. You hear me?
Right.
And I have a tent. I sing in the choir. And I took my shoes off because I liked, in order for me to sing properly, I feel like I gotta take my shoes off. And I had an eye with me. Erin was sitting at an eye with me. And as I walked out of church, there was this lady right in the front of the Holy Virgin statue. And she said to me, "Oh, Kenra,
I can tell, Donna, you had your shoes off and you was dancing. And she said, let me tell you something. And there was an explicit that I used. And I said, let me tell you something. You don't know what I've been through of this child.
Right.
This is my child. And if I won't take my shoes off the church and dance, I said, David, dance.
Right.
I said, half of the problem is that y'all don't want dance. You want mind other people's business and worry about what I doing in church. But the time you take to watch me, you really should be watching your husband.
Right.
I don't regret saying that, you know, because it was literally none of your business. And
yes.
what I do to get through for my child and what I do for Anai, because I want you to believe this. As a mother, your child is your child.
Yes.
You cover that child. So when this woman who sent me this message, I can send you this number. That bothered me because she is sitting in her yard. Two children. Do you know? I wonder how she is every day.
She's going through. But let me say this in addition to what you spoke about earlier. So when you talk about dancing and giving God praise because he had given you this child, it's
yes.
the same for me, because a part of my journey is multifaceted, but I walk in complete obedience daily. I'm not perfect. I mess up all the times. The other day I did, you know, something that it didn't make me feel good, and I had to get my mojo back. And so I had to fall back in line of obedience. But love, you talk about obedience. So I want to talk about the sacrifice that you have to make as a mother on this journey. I waited 8 years before we could move into our home. A lot of people don't know this, but I lost my hair 3 times, bald. I lost my hair 3 times.
Wow.
I went without the nails. My feet could cut concrete at some points. Yes. I gained weight. I used to be one of those girls tipping all over the place, hair done, nails done, makeup done, body on point, whatever. But God took me to a, listen to me. God
listen.
Took me to a place where
listen.
I had to come low. So there's no pride in this. And
no.
then there's sacrifice, there's obedience, and then there's the work. I know this is a lot, because I know our time is limited. I have to get it in. Yes, I'm a Christian. And yes, I fasted and prayed. And yes, I sought the Lord. But then you know what the Lord did to me? He threw the work on me, Kenny. He put me in a position where, he forced me in a position where I had to do things. Not only was I uncomfortable with, not only was I unsure that I would be able to do, but things I did not want to do. But I had to do it, and that's part of motherhood.
Let me read this text to you. These people don't know what mothers have to do. After a miscarriage at 7 months and having to push out a dead baby, and God bless my womb again and gave me my son. He's now 19, and I will fight for him. Mom, my child is 11, and I will fight for her too with you.
Yes.
I thank you. I want you to know that. Chris says, we have a caller on the line. Chris, is the caller still there? Caller, good evening. You're on. Are you there?
Hello. Hello.
Good evening, caller. Good evening, caller.
Yes, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
Yes. Hello, Kenny. Good evening. And good evening to your guest, Danella. I'm inspired by this conversation this evening, and I'm touched by the experiences of all your audience and your guests. She said that she had went and traveled to New Jersey and sought help for a child, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, I just want to share with you, her, and the Bahamas of two friends of mine. Their names are Dr. Charlene Smith. And
yes.
Dr. Stanley Smith.
I know them. They are my great friends.
Okay. I just wanted to share that. I wondered if you do know them. Because years ago, their sister and I had a relationship. I'm Stanley's sister. And I wanted to, if you didn't, wasn't in contact, to put you in contact with her, because she wanted for years. to do great things. She with this autism and their son, Sarek, who is autistic.
Yes.
Got her into that. He's graduating this year in the top of his class up in New Jersey.
Yes, because he is.
She, you know, she had made it pointedly to me and to everyone that the treatment that and the disrespect that the autistic children gets in this country is something that we need to work on. She always wanted to put a program together, and I'm happy to know that you know her. I called
yes.
there when your show started to try and speak with her and left a message for her to call me back. So what we have to do is to, you keep to say your all experiences and to move forward. Kenny, I would like to, keep in contact with her to keep in contact with each other, because I'm going to rekindle my contact and relation with Dr. Charlene and Stanley Rose, so we can move on. Also, Belinda Wilson and I mean, we went to the same college in Raleigh, North Carolina, St. Augustine's College. I was there a couple of years before her. So if we can incorporate all of this into what is going on, you know, Belinda ain't no easy task. You know, she stands for what's upright. So you all have a nice evening, and I hope we... if I can leave my number for you, Mr.
Yes,
Nella.
Please leave it with Chris.
I want to do some great things.
Leave it with our engineer. Don't hang up. Just leave it with Chris, please.
Thank you so much.
We'll get it to her.
Thank you.
This is a text that's coming in. My guests, I tell you, they just raggy me. Kendanique Campbell-Moss, thank you so much for this opportunity this evening. It's indeed a different type of show, but love knows no bounds. And yes, I'm going home this evening to throw my leg on my man, as I usually do on Tuesday evenings after listening to you. Thank you very much. I want you to know something. I work in an office with two ladies that have special needs sons. We work for an insurance company. Sometimes they bring the kids. Sometimes the kids come upstairs. Sometimes they wait downstairs with the security. The kids need love and they need special attention. And I think that we've surrounded the children with that type of energy. I think that it is important for us to remember that not all children. Guests started to speak earlier. She mentioned that we grade people on their educational skills, or we look at education as a way of success. Everybody will not be a doctor or a lawyer. I think we need to be mindful of that in the Bahamas. Thank you for this show. Thank you for having an opportunity and an outlet. I've never really listened to radio shows that often. You seem to bring topics that nobody wants to touch. Who would have thought that at 6:30, I would be sitting in my car listening to two women on the radio talk about children and talk about what their needs are. Thank you to Donnell. Thank you for her honesty. And Kenny, we all know that you are not saved. So I know what you did at those people's church. No, I am not saved, but I do believe in God. I am a Christian in the Catholic faith. And I don't think that I will change
getting
that.
It together. You're getting it together.
Yeah, but I want you to know, I do listen to other people. I go to other people's churches. I mean, I haven't been to church since my mom left.
You can come visit my church. I can come for you.
I'm ready to go to church, Ed. But I can tell you, I watch Revelation Church online. I watch Life Changes Ministries. And I follow Valentino Williams. I follow those two people because I feel like they are giving me a message. Mm-hmm. And I know it doesn't really matter where you go as long as you find God. But for me, I think that this is a true testament of faith. There's another question that I have here. And it speaks about, there are three questions. Do you ever struggle with guilt, either your child or for yourself? But this is a question piggybacking off of what that my other texter mentioned. And the text reads, how do you take care of your own mental and emotional health? Like, Donnell, what do you do? Like, how do you get a break? Do you take a massage? I know you come on the show free for me tonight, right? But if I wanted to do something for you, how would I do something for you?
That's a good question, Kenny. This year is the year I think the Lord promised me that he would allow me to take care of myself, because I hadn't done it for such a long time. It was always AJ, what his needs were. And, you know, my husband would often say to me, you got to go and do this. You got to go and do that. Go out sometime, have lunch, do this, that. Let's go this way and the next way. And I would always turn it down because I was so focused on what AJ's needs were and getting, you know, him to where he is at this point. But I find great joy in being in the presence of the Lord. And that sounds cliche, right? Mm-hmm. But he is my safe place. He is my hype man. He gives me great joy. So if you see, you know what would be great for me? To be tucked away somewhere in an Airbnb with my Bible, my radio, and it's just me and him.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to get you something, because this text from this lady, this kind of freaked me out and kind of changed my whole mood for the night. But there's another text here, and I don't know how to read this. I don't know how to read this text, but this text says, thank you for sharing. I want to leave you with something, Kenny. Please read my text. I had a son, and my son was severely challenged. He had a heart murmur. He was blind. He was deaf. He had cerebral palsy as well. I would travel to the hospital many, many days and many, many nights. My husband and I are divorced. I devoted all of what I had to this child, every resource. The insurance did not cover because I had IVF in order to have the child. I have no child. My son died. My husband left. My parents are deceased. My siblings are deceased. I have no one. Take time for you.
Wow.
That is a text, Donnell.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. Let us take a break. We will be back. This is Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk. All day.
Try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. Link available online at thenassauguardian.com. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Donnell, we are coming back. We are coming back in 2 seconds.
Okay.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's
always tomorrow. Lean on me. When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. I will help you carry on. I want to say, right? I'm a woman of a particular age, and I look good. I look damn good. Erica got the charge, Dwight, in the morning. But there are some ladies. We were having a conversation, right? And they were talking about fertility and having a myomectomy and hysterectomy and all of these other things. One woman, she is so afraid to have a hysterectomy. And we talked her through it, and we're like, listen, that's the best thing you could ever have in your life, because after you would have done that, sex is wonderful. You don't have to worry about contraceptives. You don't have to worry about doing this, that, and the next. But I will tell you, as women, if we would only have real conversations, if we would only have the dialogue, right, that would empower another woman. You never know who you are helping. That last text blew my mind.
It was heavy.
That last text blew my mind. But before we come off of air, Donnell, I want you to talk about early detection. I want you to talk about, you have the last minute. You go right ahead. And for those of you that are within the sound of my voice, please, life is very, very short. Life is short. Love on who love you. And I mean, whatever love that is. Love who love you. Like, just embrace it. Go home tonight. Get some popcorn. Put your leg on that man. Let that man put his leg on you. Love up somebody. Your own somebody now. But let's do it in love. Donnell, talk to us in our last minute about early detection. Talk to the people. Let the people know.
So I think I mentioned earlier that it was my elder sister, Anika, who would have seen the signs with my son. I'm thankful to God that, you know, that I was able to get ahead of it. AJ was around 2.5. And this is the age when most parents begin to see changes in their children. Maybe they were speaking, saying a few words here and there, and then altogether lose it. Maybe they are showing signs of aggression. They're obsessed with different things. Maybe they're tipping on their toes. Maybe they're having tantrums that are, you know, more severe than the usual ones. So many different signs that you would, you know, bear witness to. You would need to swiftly take that child to have that child evaluated, because you want to rule it out, yes, But if it is the case that the child is has some level of autism spectrum disorder, you would want to seek early intervention. That's, you know, one of my main messages tonight. Early intervention is key. There is hope. If you start early, you get to a better place. The child, there's hope. At the end of the day, there's hope. Just, you know, for my Christian followers or listeners, I would say, yes, we're going to pray. Yes, we're going to fast. But even in addition to that, we're going to put in that work. We're going to work diligently, which is what the Bible talks about, especially as mothers. Motherhood is a divine calling. It is a gift. According to Proverbs 20, 28, 29, and 30, it is a gift. And so we want to take this gift that God gave us in the form of our child or children, and we want to help them be their best selves and pursue the purpose that God has on their lives. And we're going to do this by, if we are one of those parents with a child with a disability, it could be autism, it could be Down syndrome, it could be whatever. You, in this case, autism, you want to seek early intervention. Any one of those therapies that I would have listed, you want to get, you know, you want to get the child enrolled as soon as possible, because all things are, we're just putting in the work now. 2.5 to 11 years now, as you had asked earlier, what were some of the great moments? Multiple great moments. And I'm grateful that God put me in the place where he forced me to not only fast and pray and read the word and go to church and be faithful in tithe giving and sowing seed. I did all of that, but then he still put the work on me. And I'm grateful that he did that. I'm grateful that I was obedient in that. Just like how we go to the doctor, we break, your leg is broken. What did you do? The first thing you did, you went to a specialist, right? You're believing God for healing. You're believing God for multiple things. You still have to seek expert advice. This is not something, yes, it goes by prayer and fasting, but also you got to add in the work. And while we wait on God to complete the miracle, we work diligently. We are going to avoid distractors. And this is a big thing, too, in the community. A lot of parents are watching social media and they're learning about these detoxes and other diets. And you drink this, you take this, you do this. I tried them. I tried the Nemechek protocol. I tried CBD oil. I tried so many detoxes. Consistency in therapy was the only thing that worked for my son. And so early intervention and getting that those therapies in is crucial. That's the only way I was able to see results, and I believe that a lot of parents are missing that mark. You cannot wait until the child is 5, 6, 7, 8 years old to talk about seeking help. By that time, you would have lost a lot of time, a lot of crucial time. At the earliest age, in the most, that's when they're going to break. That's when they're going to absorb what you're putting in them through therapy. And so, yeah, that's my message for tonight: early intervention, and do not be distracted. Work diligently. Trust in God.
Donnell, tonight's show was different from what I would have expected. I thank you so very much. I thank you for giving us the opportunity for you to speak, and I thank you for just being so transparent in your deliberations. For those of you that are within the sound of my voice, this is Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day. This has been Kenny's Corner. We're going to have more conversations. This is the dialogue for us to have the conversation, for us to create a better space, to create safer spaces. When you have the dialogue, it creates the spaces. Right. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Go and put your leg on a man. Let that man put his leg on you. Get your popcorn. Get your wine. This is another sexy Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to Kenny's Corner, and have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Kenny, for having me. I appreciate you greatly.
I appreciate you.
If you're tossing and you're turning and you just can't fall asleep, I'll sing a song beside you. And if you ever forget how much you really mean to me, every day I will, oh, find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah.